Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the show. Newly disclosed ghost drones that are part of America's latest arms package for Ukraine were developed by the U.S. Air Force for attacking targets and are destroyed after a single use. Sounds like a pretty expensive thing to use, but the United States and its allies have ramped up arms shipments to Kyiv ahead of Russia's announced offensive in eastern Ukraine as Moscow tries to salvage its nearly two-month-old campaign. Ukrainian forces have used Western weapons, including Stinger and Javelin missiles, along with drones like the Turkish Bayraktar TB2 and U.S.-made Switchblade effectively to target Russian positions. The White House said earlier on Thursday that over 121 Phoenix Ghost tactical unmanned aerial systems will be provided to Ukraine as part of the new arms package. Each one has one use only out of them. The Pentagon said that ghost drones are well suited for the coming fight in Ukraine's Donbas region, which officials have described as a flat terrain reminiscent of the U.S. state of Kansas. It was developed for a set of requirements that are very closely match what the Ukrainians need right now in Donbas, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby said without elaborating. Little else is known about the drones, including their range and precise capabilities, and Kirby declined to offer more details about them. Still, he did say they were designed mainly for striking targets, which is essentially what the Ukrainians need, is something to strike back at with. A small number of Ukrainians have been trained in the U.S. United States on how to operate Switchblade drones, single-use weapons that fly into their targets and detonate on impact. Kirby said training for the ghost drones would be similar to the training on the Switchblade, but he declined to detail training plans or how many Ukrainians would be trained on the new system. The ghost drones have not yet been delivered to the Ukraine. Earlier on Thursday, Kirby said the drones have been rapidly developed for Ukraine, but later at a news conference, he clarified that development had started before the Russian invasion on February 24th. Kirby said, quote, we will continue to move that development in ways that are attuned to Ukrainian requirements for unmanned aerial systems of tactical nature in eastern Ukraine, unquote. Seems like we are finally starting to get it a little bit right here, giving the Ukrainians weapons that they can use to destroy Russian tanks and Russian aircraft and go on the offensive, something they haven't done yet. But hopefully soon they will have that ability, and Russia is already having problems with their war. They say that they have taken Mariupol, but the Ukrainians say no, they haven't. So it all depends on what is going on.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to see.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he can't.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men. Most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch those people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they
create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
The update that I did yesterday, it was all about 26 Republican governors that have signed a pact to establish a border strike force to tackle off-the-chart illegal immigration, drug cartels, and crime. It was led by Governor Abbott of Texas and Ducey of Arizona. And it was actually 26 states that signed into this. This whole thing, what I read about yesterday, says the liberal leftists in this nation have essentially declared war on Americans by not doing what is one of their few duties for America, and that is protecting our border. But 26 governors have taken up the mantle. Maybe they should get Biden and Harris's pay, since Biden and Harris are not doing their job. But what I had written on there, I listed the governors. And, excuse me. The governors that were involved in this pretty much show that this is not a southern border thing. This is being felt all over the United States. But the pact was signed by the following governors: Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona, Greg Abbott, Texas, Kay Ivey of Alabama, Mike Dunleavy of Alaska, Asa Hutchinson, Arkansas, Ron DeSantis of Florida, Brian Kemp of Georgia, Brad Little of Idaho, Eric Holcomb of Indiana, Kim Reynolds of Iowa, Larry Hogan of Maryland. See, this goes all the way all over the nation, folks. Pete Ricketts of Nebraska, Chris Sununu of New Hampshire, Doug Burgum of North Dakota, Mike DeWine of Ohio, Kevin Stitt of Oklahoma, Henry McMaster of South Carolina, Christy Noem of South Dakota, Bill Lee of Tennessee, Spencer Cox of Utah, Glenn Youngkin of Virginia, Jim Justice of West Virginia, and Jim Gordon of Wyoming. Now, I said, yes, hats off to these great governors who have taken up the mantle that our so-called president has dropped. And it is, like I have been saying, this is a national problem. The states involved here are all over this nation. And it's a great thing that they've done this. But the thing that I'm looking at here is an article from Newsmax that's headlined, Governor Jim Justice, West Virginia to join 26 state border security coalition. Now, West Virginia is not on the border. Neither is Maryland. Neither is Alaska. Neither is Idaho. Well, they're on a border, but not the border. But the article says West Virginia Governor Jim Justice told Newsmax on Friday that he was teaming up with 25 other Republican governors to establish a border strike force to tackle off-the-chart illegal immigration, drug cartels, and crime. He said on Spicer & Company, which is a show that I watch all the time, he said, it's a coordination of a bunch of people that really care. We all know exactly what's going on at the southern border, and we know absolutely how it's just ripping this nation to pieces, unquote. Justice, a former Democrat turned Republican, asserted that the Democratic Party is turning a blind eye on the border in order to get more folks in here to be able to buy votes. And this is something I have been saying for, ever since Biden went into office. And I said it when Obama was in office, too, when they did exactly the same thing. Justice said, adding that the number of fentanyl-related seizures between 2018 and 2021 in the state has gone up by 1,778%. He said, pitiful shame as far as what's happening and what's happening to West Virginia alone. It is off the chart what is going on if you're evaluating from the bad side, the governor continued. We know without any question we're bringing crime. We're bringing terrorists. We're bringing the cartels. We're bringing China right into our lives. Justice said that the U.S. is compounding the problem through either one of two things, either a motivation to cause more and more and more problems, or we're doing it from the standpoint of who knows what. It could be the entire deterioration of America. And he's so right here. But Justice said that with President Joe Biden's performance in office thus far, the group of 26 red states should have all kinds of Democratic governors joining them. Right now, he said, we're at a crossroads, and the Biden administration is totally lost, so why allow them to just continue on the way they're going? I totally agree with this. And as of today, or as of yesterday, Abbott has sent 8, maybe even 9 now, I don't know, 8 buses of illegals to within blocks. Pelosi is going nuts. She's insane with this idea that this can't be done, but it's happening. And the things that are going on now are just really actually heartening to what is happening. That in a joint interview Tuesday, Governor Greg Abbott and Arizona Governor Doug Ducey told Fox News that they are working to hold the Biden administration accountable for exacerbating the ongoing migrant crisis. Now, here's the problem with calling this a migrant crisis. It isn't. We are being invaded. And the sooner that the people realize this, And the sooner that the politicians in Washington realize this, that this is an invasion, military can be brought in to stop it. As long, and that's one of the reasons why the Democrats will not admit that this is an invasion. They don't want to be able to have a way to stop this. They don't want to stop it. They don't want to stop it in any way, shape, or form. They don't want to stop it. Well, heck, this kind of sucks. I had myself a really, really good thing going there. I talked for about 12 minutes and realized that my mute button was on my phone. And so I guess I'm going to have to start this whole thing over again. Yesterday, I did an update. You know, I do updates Monday through Thursday. And my one from yesterday actually talked about this first story that I want to talk about here on the show tonight. And it came from Breitbart News. And the border stayed in the news as governors are getting sick and tired of Biden's border non-policy and started working together to save this republic. And it's about time. The headline that I read this thing from said 26 governors mobilize against migration chaos at the border. A group of 26 Republican governors joined forces to address the chaotic border policies of the Biden administration that led to an unprecedented crisis along the U.S. border with Mexico. The governors, led by Texas Governor Greg Abbott and Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, joined together to disrupt and dismantle transnational criminal organizations in order to stop the flow of dangerous drugs and combat human smuggling. Now, the 26 governors, the pact that was signed by the 26 governors says the Border Strike Force will coordinate efforts between the states, and the states are all over the nation. I will read you these states, and you will be amazed at where they all are. But it says that it will partner at the state fusion center level to disrupt and dismantle cartels. It will share criminal justice information to improve investigations in the border region and nationwide, especially in communities adjacent to or crossing state boundaries. It will coordinate and improve interdiction on the interstates to combat drug trafficking and human smuggling. It will co-locate intelligence analysts in border states to improve collaboration, real-time response, intelligence sharing, and analysis connected to border security. It will assist border states with supplemental staff and resources at state fusion centers, such as on rotation assignments, to share information obtained both at the border and in other states. So they're all going to be working together. From this, it seems like all the states that have signed this are going to be sending people to Texas to help. This will also send law enforcement to train in border states to detect, track, and curb border-related crime. This document will focus state law enforcement efforts to disrupt and dismantle cartels. It will target cartel finances that fund criminal activity in the border regions to seize the tools used to assist the cartels. This is a good thing. It will monitor cybersecurity issues that may increase vulnerability along the southern border, such as criminal networks that operate on social media and recruit traffickers. It will review state criminal statutes regarding human trafficking, drug trafficking, and transnational criminal organizations to ensure the laws deter, disrupt, and dismantle criminal activity. This is all good stuff, folks. It will review state criminal justice statistics and information to determine crimes that can be traced to the southern border. They're all working together, folks. This is freaking great. It will develop interstate procedures to fill any identifiable gaps or identified inconsistencies in existing plans to address border crime. The Memorandum of Understanding lays out additional coordination efforts and action items for states' response to the Biden border crisis. And that's exactly what this is, folks. It is a border crisis created by Biden and his government in the effort to get an invasion coming in so that they can use the people invading this country to help them win in November. That's all this is, folks. Now, I did say that I was going to give the governors, and I think I did already, but the governors are Doug Ducey, Arizona, Greg Abbott, Texas, Kay Ivey, Alabama, Mike Dunleavy, Alaska, and he's nowhere near the border. You see what I'm talking about? It's all over the nation. Asa Hutchinson, Arkansas, Ron DeSantis, Florida, Brian Kemp, Georgia, Brad Little, Idaho, Eric Holcomb, Indiana, Kim Reynolds, Iowa, Larry Hogan, Maryland, Kate Reeves of Mississippi, Mike Parsons of Missouri, Greg Gianforte of Montana, Pete Ricketts of Nebraska, Chris Sununu, New Hampshire, Doug Burgum, North Dakota, Mike DeWine, Ohio, Kevin Stitt, Oklahoma, Henry McMaster, South Carolina, Christy Noem, South Dakota, Bill Lee of Tennessee, Spencer Cox of Utah, Glenn Youngkin of Virginia, Jim Justice of West Virginia, and Mark Gordon of Wyoming. And all I have to say about this is hats off to these great governors who have taken up the mantle that our so-called president is supposed to be doing but has dropped. And it is, like I've been saying, this is a national problem. The states involved here are all over the nation. And this is great, folks, because since the federal government will not do its job to keep the American people safe, then the states are taking up the mantle to do Joe Biden's job. So in essence here, Joe Biden is president but won't do his job, so the states are replacing him with their own governments and doing his job for him. Since Biden and Harris are not doing their jobs, and keeping the country safe and the border safe is one of just a few jobs they actually do have. They're not doing them, so their pay that they are getting should go to these governors, not to Biden, Harris, or Pelosi, or any of them. They should lose their pay completely. They won't, but they should. And all their pay should be going to these governors, because these governors are actually doing the job that President Biden is supposed to be doing. Period. And the things that we've got going in our nation right now, we have this invasion of the South, which is just like 250 miles away from me. So I see this. I see what's going on here. And we have people all over our nation right now who are taking over positions that have been held by Democrats for a long, long time. Here in New Mexico, we have a couple of people who are running for governor. John Block is one, and I've talked to this guy before. He is a retired military. He has all the qualifications of being a governor, and I will be doing an ad for him. I'll probably be setting it up this week so that starting next week I can start pushing an ad for John Block. We have another person who is running for governor who is also a Republican. And right now, our dictatress, Santa Fe, is running scared. She knows she's going to get lambasted in November. And she's doing everything she can to keep that from happening. It's just like with Biden. He has now said that he is not sure if he's going to get rid of Trump's Title 42. He may extend it. And it would be good if he did. But what he's doing, folks, is he's not doing it for the American people. That's not the reason why he's considering extending this Title 42, which needs to be extended no matter what. It needs to be. But Biden is not doing this for the American people. He doesn't give a rat's ass about the American people. What he's doing it for is to help the Democrats win in November. He's hoping that the American people, who usually have short memories, won't remember all of this stuff come November, and that we will vote him the Senate that he needs, that we will vote MLG a new term in office here in Indiana, or here in New Mexico. He's hoping that the American people forget and elect Beto O'Rourke for senator in Texas. That ain't likely to happen. But if you look at how they are doing this, folks, this is how they are thinking. They are thinking that they have to think about things and what is going on. They want to continue to double down on their on the things they want to do, which they are doing. But they're also changing some of their tactics and making the people, trying to make the people think that they're doing stuff for us. No, they're not. They're doing stuff to get them elected again in November. Right now, Biden has an approval rating of something like about 42% right now. That is lower than any president has been in 50, 60, 70 years now. But my question is, with everything that he has done, with everything that he is doing to the United States, why is there still 42% supporting him? All you have to do is listen to the man when he speaks, and you can tell that he has no brain that's working inside that head. Absolutely no brain. And when they actually give him speeches to talk, he always has a tendency to sway off of that talk. He always has a tendency to say the things that he wants to say. And usually when he says the things he wants to say, he puts his foot in his mouth and says something that just absolutely befuddles everyone. And he doesn't have the smarts to think about it and think, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. If he would do what Hillary Clinton did, if he would do what Barack Obama did, they both said things that just tore their popularity apart. But they knew all they have to do is just keep quiet for a little while, keep silent, and the people will forget. And sure as hell, they would keep silent, and their popularity would start to rise. Biden doesn't have that intelligence in him to tell him to shut the hell up. He keeps destroying his standing, and it keeps going lower and lower, and he keeps doubling down. It's amazing to watch, really.
We will be right back with more of NWCR's Truth Festival. Stay tuned. Sanchez is a native New Mexican who grew up in the South Valley of Albuquerque in a traditional Hispanic family. Louis worked his way through high school as a maintenance man, cleaning bathrooms, and mowing grass at Putt-Putt Golf. He put himself through college washing dishes. Louis was proud to become the first of nearly 40 cousins to graduate from college, earning his degree from the University of New Mexico. His family instilled in him the value of hard work, integrity, compassion, and personal responsibility, and those are principles that still guide his steps today. Louis is running because he is tired of our state being first on all the worst lists. Louis and his wife of 25 years, Kathy, believe in God and follow his directions in all their decisions. Louis is running because he believes people should come before politics, something that most politicians here in New Mexico and around our country do not believe in. If you want to join the Sanchez team, go to Sanchez for New Mexico. That's sanchezfornm.com/meet-Louis and sign up to help him win. Our Senate needs more men who believe in the laws of America and follow the Constitution. That's Louis Sanchez for Senate. Give him your vote so he can work for you. Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is pleased to announce the return of Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown. Earlier this summer, Vincent took time off for the summer to do some things that he wanted to do with his family. Family is important, no matter what the left says. Now he is back. Starting on the 19th of September, Vincent Brown is back with Black by Color Only at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays with the show that you all loved. Vincent has a special way to let you know just what is going on and why it is good or bad. That's Black by Color Only on CNM, where America always wins.
Through my bumper music, I found a few that I had never played before. That one was Loggins Messina. I've got a couple of them that actually are of songs that were hits a long time ago. That was Don Gibson who wrote that song and did that song. And there's another one that I found that actually is called I'm Moving On with Hank Snow, but that was also Loggins and Messina, who did that. But we are back. The call-in number, if you wish to be on the show, is 646-478-5284. And if you call in with a number that shows up as 111-111-1111, I will not answer that because I have never found those to be people who actually want to talk. They either want to be a troll or they just want to listen to the show. And I've got one that's constantly calling in with that number, and so I normally will not answer with that number. So if you want to call in with a number, go ahead and call in with your phone number or some number. But I was looking through the news and wanted to find stuff like from Breitbart or from Western Journal, things like that. And that's what I have been working on the past couple of hours, trying to get things that I need to talk about here tonight. Right now we have Biden blaming the Republicans for everything that's going on. And it's amazing that he thinks he can get away with this. The FedEx founder and CEO lays out just how the Democrats caused the current inflation spike. And it's actually a pretty good article. It was in the Western Journal. And it was written by Randy DeSoto. But it said, FedEx founder and CEO Fred Smith says that Democratic policies are clearly to blame in part for the current levels of inflation the U.S. is experiencing. The consumer price index surged 8.5% in March compared to a year ago, up from 7.9% in February, CNBC reported. The rate was the highest since December of 1981, folks. By way of comparison, the month former President Donald Trump left office, January 2021, the inflation rate was 1.4%. In March, it was 8.5%. And it's been going up since Biden took office, as have the prices of gasoline, as have the prices of other things that we have to buy to survive. But asked by Fox News host Brett Baer Wednesday to give his overview of where the nation's economy stands, Smith addressed inflation. He said, quote, "We still have substantial growth, but as you mentioned, substantial inflation. I think the best person that commented on the current situation before it got started was Larry Summers, the former Democratic Treasury Secretary who forewarned about these inflation pressures. It's a combination of a lot of things that began with the pandemic and the instant reduction of demand and then the stimulus payments, which created demand for goods. And then the third stimulus payment about a year ago created a significant labor shortage," he added. In February 2021, Washington Post opinion piece, Summers wrote that passing the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan, given the economy was already well into a recovery, will set off inflationary pressures of a kind we have not seen in a generation, with consequences for the value of the dollar and financial stability. After it was passed the following month, the former Clinton administration Treasury Secretary called it the least responsible macroeconomic policy we've had in the last 40 years. Smith referenced his own experience at FedEx with the impact of the legislation. He said, quote, "I'm not making any political statement one way or another, but we know from our own statistics that we can track exactly when the stimulus checks went out in April and May of last year, and we had about 50,000 job applications the first week in May," he told Baer. "It took us to December to get back about 120,000 applications," Smith further stated. "So it's simply quantitative data, and I'm not saying anything based on anybody's politics. It's just the numbers," he reiterated. The business leader elaborated on the point in a recent interview with the Wall Street Journal. Smith explained much of the supply chain crisis was created by government payments incentivizing people not to work. And that's exactly, I said this over and over and over again, is what was going to happen. But nobody would listen to me. Nobody listened to people who were saying it. But instead, they listened to Biden. Oh, I'm going to help. Yes, I'm going to help. I'm going to help by giving people money. Well, where's this money coming from, folks? First off, the government has absolutely zero money until they take it from us. And that $1 trillion help that he handed out all this crap to the American people and made them not want to work came from the American people in the first place. The Foundation for Government Accountability, or the GAC office, calculated last summer that when the enhanced unemployment payments and monthly child tax credits were being sent at the time were added to existing benefits for lower-income Americans that worked out to about $3,700 per month for a two-child family, or $44,300 per year in payments. Folks, that is more than I have ever made in my life, and they're paying people to stay home. During this period, Smith told the Journal, we were 40,000 package handlers short. And there were people in the media saying the stimulus checks didn't have anything to do with that. Such people were divorced from the world they're living in. Such people are divorced from the world we're living in. If I'm getting a government check, he said, there's less incentive to go into a warehouse. Absolutely the truth, folks. Smith contended that U.S. dodged a hyperinflation bullet last fall when the Democrats Build Back Better legislation, which some estimated would cost $5 trillion over 10 years, fell short. Had we passed the Build Back Better bill that President Joe Biden wanted, my guess is that we would be 1920s Weimar Germany right now, he said. We'd have 25% inflation rather than 9 or 10. Smith credited Democratic Senators Kristen Sinema of Arizona and Joe Manchin of West Virginia for saving the U.S. from this fate. They were like the Dutch kid with the finger in the dike, he said. The CEO noted that much of the spending would have been paid for with Federal Reserve printed money, which is inflationary. Smith said you can't print money without regard to the fundamental laws of economics. And this is absolutely the freaking truth, folks. Biden was constantly saying, oh, I can give you money. But where's his money coming from? It's coming from the American people. Coming from the American people. Now, one of the things that I have been watching, excuse me, is Trump lately. In 4 weeks, up until last week, he did a rally every week for 4 weeks. He's working harder doing his rallies than Biden has since he started in the presidency, in the fake presidency that he's in now. And tomorrow is another one. He's doing another rally in Ohio. Normally, I am at church during that time. Tomorrow, I won't be. We are going to go to church on Sunday instead of Saturday night like we have been, because I don't have anything to do tomorrow night unless they call me, get a hold of me and say, we need you to run this camera or this camera, you know, and I'm not looking for them to do that. But if they do, then I probably won't be able to see the rally. But if they don't, then I'm going to sit here and watch this. Because if it's anything like his last ones, there's going to be thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people there cheering the man they want for president. And yesterday, I noted that Sarah Palin actually suggested that if he calls her to be vice president with him this time, then she will do it. Trump, I thought when he ran, had a good vice president in Mike Pence. I was wrong. Mike Pence was a good governor and a good congressman for Indiana. But there were things that he did that kind of threw red flags up when he did them. It's like he didn't have the backbone to stand up against people pushing against him. I didn't think anything about this. I thought that him being vice president was a good thing. Turned out it wasn't. But what is going on now is we have several people who are being considered. One of them, I just told you, Sarah Palin. She said that if he decides to ask her to run for vice president with him, she will do it. Ron DeSantis is another one who has been talked about. A Trump DeSantis ticket would be great. Another one. And I've heard several people mention this, but I haven't heard too much about it. Governor Greg Abbott. That would be another one. But the Democrats wouldn't want him, and they wouldn't want him for one reason. Because the Democrats always want to be the first in anything. They wanted to be the first to have a woman vice president. They wanted to be the first to have a woman president. Now, if they would have chose a woman that was worth having, we might have had one. But there were a couple of times when the Republicans would push for a minority to be somebody like the Attorney General. There was a Hispanic man that was under Bush that was being pushed to be the Attorney General, and the Democrats came unglued. They didn't want him. And they didn't want him for one reason and one reason only. He would have been the first Hispanic Attorney General, but he would have been a Republican. The Democrats don't want that. Now, if he was a Democrat, oh, yeah, they would have been all for that. They'd have been all for that. But it's like here, like in Texas, in Florida. Florida has passed their bill to restructure the counties. And in this, it goes completely against every time, like I've talked about how the governor here has gone after restructuring and giving the Democrats like six more seats in the state and taken away some of the Republicans. Now, that's perfectly fine. But what happened in Florida was the Democrats actually lost about three sections of the state. And on top of that, Disney lost. All of this should have been done. But when it happened in the state house, the Democrats threw a fit. They cried, they bitched, they moaned. They complained, this should never happen. Well, it always happens with them. But when it goes against them, oh, it should never happen. And another one that I found today.
This one's great, and I got an ambulance or something coming by here, so you're going to be hearing a siren. But there was an article in Breitbart today that said 16 state attorney generals asked Biden to restart the Keystone Pipeline to secure domestic oil supply. See, Biden is losing here. He is losing his ever-loving mind. He keeps pushing his agenda, knowing this is going to destroy his presidency. But he don't care. He wants to push this agenda. But the attorney generals from 16 states are asking Joe Biden to restart the Keystone XL pipeline as oil supplies are threatened by Russia's ongoing war on Ukraine. Before Biden took office, the United States under President Donald Trump was energy independent. One of Biden's earliest actions as president was to issue an executive order revoking the federal permit that allowed the continued construction of the Keystone. The 1,700-mile pipeline would have carried about 830,000 barrels of oil per day from Alberta oil fields to Texas refineries. The AG signing the letter said that their states benefited economically from the pipeline in the form of jobs and fees from operating in their jurisdiction. The letter said in part, following your revocation of President Donald Trump's 2019 permit for the Keystone XL pipeline on the first day of your administration, excuse me, we have repeatedly asked you to reconsider this misguided and we continue to believe unlawful decision. We warned you then, if your decision was not reversed, Americans would suffer serious detrimental consequences, consumers would pay higher prices, and our allies would become further dependent on Russia and the Middle Eastern oil. We hate to say it, but we told you so. Just over a year later, new record high gas prices are seemingly set every day. Economy-wide inflation, the highest in 40 years, is straining the budgets of American families, and European countries are unable to import oil and gas sanctions on Russia without risking an economic recession. Instead, European countries are spending $1 billion, that's a billion with a B, per day on Russian oil and gas and literally funding Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine in the process. The DTN website's Progressive Farmer reported on the letter. It says attorney generals from Montana, Alaska, and this is going all over the map, Montana, Alaska, Arkansas, Indiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Arizona, Florida, Louisiana, Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas, West Virginia, South Carolina, Utah, and Wyoming said in a letter to Biden on Monday that their greatest fears about how cutting the project would affect energy prices have come true. Multiple reviews by the U.S. Department of State spanning two administrations found the pipeline would pose little or no environmental harm, including no negative effects on the climate. The attorneys general said a report by the Wall Street Journal indicated the Biden administration was trying to increase oil imports from Canada to make up for lost production in the U.S. The letter said, the oil you now want to import from Canada is the same oil that would have flowed through the Keystone XL pipeline, which would have transported nearly 1 million barrels per day, not only from Canada, but from the Bakken oil fields in Montana and North Dakota to American refineries, the letter said. The hypocrisy would be stunning if it weren't so insulting to American energy workers and those in rural communities who benefited from the pipeline's many economic opportunities. These opportunities would return almost immediately if Biden would just restart it again. But Psaki and all of them are saying, oh, it won't help at all because the Keystone Pipeline's not finished. How many people were put out of work when Biden revoked the permits to build it? How many people were put out of work by that one stroke of his pen? 1,000? 2,000? No, you better go farther up. 3,000? 4,000? Farther up. 5, 6, 7? Farther up. 8, 9, 10? Farther up, folks. Over 10,000 people lost their jobs when Biden shut down the Keystone Pipeline. 10,000 people lost their jobs there. About 10,000 people in New Mexico lost their jobs here when our governor did exactly the same thing and shut down oil stuff here. That's 20,000 people. And the government is trying to tell us that unemployment's going down? What a freaking joke. It is freaking amazing that so many people have lost their jobs, and yet they're saying that unemployment's at 4.5%. Guarantee you, folks, that unemployment is one hell of a lot higher. And if they were actually truthful in their reporting, would probably be higher than 10%. Why? Because people do not want to go back to work because the government has paid them to stay home. And because they're not wanting to go back to work, they're not looking for work. They're unemployed, but they're not looking for work. When they're unemployed and not looking for work, they're not considered by the government to be unemployed. So they're not counted as being unemployed. You see how this works, folks? You see how this works? Biden and his administration is destroying this country. And the sooner the people realize this, the sooner his so-called approval rating will drop all the way down to zero because people will finally realize what the hell is going on. And the people who are still supporting him are the 42, 41% that still support him. Sooner or later, they're going to realize that their lives are being put into shambles too. And it's being done by the President of the United States, Joseph Biden. And over the last couple of weeks, I have found so much about him that just blows my mind. He should be in prison, folks, for the things that he did with his son and that stupid laptop that everybody and their uncles were saying, that's misinformation. No, it's not. It hasn't been. It wasn't then. But it's proving all true. We will be right back. The news for America that is good for America never gets reported. So that's why shows like NWCR Radio exist. We will be right back after these important messages. As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones.
that is the one area that I in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call I in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call I in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil field and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is I in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at iinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit. If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. And see what happens then, where America always wins.
Please don't do anything you will never live to regret.
Angry blowback for the downing of Ukrainian passenger jet gathering momentum in Tehran.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico in CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
We are back. I have been following a lot of the things, and you know, people keep talking about how blacks are being targeted for crimes when they're not doing them. How come I keep finding all kinds of articles like this one entitled, it was from Breitbart, entitled Police. Georgia, four-week-old dead after father spiked bottle with alcohol. The father and the mother are now in jail. Father and mother were both black. A mother and father from Hiram, Georgia, have been charged with murdering their four-week-old infant who doctors said had a quantity of alcohol in its system that was well over four times the legal limit for an adult. Now, this is according to authorities, folks. In a release in Paulding County Sheriff's Office, or the PCSO, announced it arrested Sidney Dunn, 24, and Marcus Colvin, 25, on April 14th, and both were charged with malice murder, a felony, second-degree murder, a felony, first-degree cruelty to children, a felony, and reckless conduct, a misdemeanor. Colvin faces additional charges of possession of a firearm by a convicted felon and parole violation, both felonies. On April 13th, officials at Children's Health Care of Atlanta, or CHOA, called deputies to the hospital regarding an unresponsive infant who was taken to the hospital, the PCSO said in the press release. They said CHOA officials stated that the circumstances surrounding the child's condition did not make sense and sounded as if they needed to be looked into by law enforcement. When the deputies arrived on scene, they met with medical professionals before speaking to the child's parents, Sidney Dunn and Marcus Colvin. After Dunn suggested that the child must have suffered from alcohol poisoning due to breastfeeding as she had consumed a significant amount of alcohol the previous day, she indicated that the child's father put alcohol in the baby's bottle. Now, this is according to PCSO. That day, detectives issued a search warrant for the Hiram basement apartment and found evidence in addition to a firearm. The PCSO noted, Colvin, a convicted felon, is not allowed to possess or be near a firearm, a felony. The following day, the child died as a result of its condition, hospital officials said. According to the authorities, doctors further advised that the child had a quantity of alcohol in its system that was well over four times the legal limit for an adult. Can you imagine this, folks? Both parents are being held in Paulding County Jail without bond, as they should be, and they could face additional charges, according to the sheriff's office. Now, I'm surprised I haven't heard anything from Black Lives Matter on this or from people saying that, oh, only black people are being arrested. Well, if they do the crime, they need to be arrested. It's the same thing with white people. If you do the crime, you get arrested. A neighbor who chose to remain anonymous called the infant's death sickening when speaking with WSB-TV. She said, quote, I've never seen the baby, but my daughter did. She just seen the mother bringing the baby carrier and putting it in the car, unquote. The outlet caught up with another unidentified neighbor who expressed concern for the children who reportedly live on the main floor of the Hiram house. The neighbor said, quote, there are two other children that live on the main floor. It makes me worry for their safety. What is going on in their basement? I mean, that's your child. It's just unheard of, unquote. It is unclear what the relationship is between the accused murderers and those who live above the basement. The incident comes to light after another incident in which three one-year-olds were taken to a Virginia hospital after allegedly being exposed to THC, the main psychoactive compound in cannabis while at daycare. And Breitbart News reported that one. Are people getting stupider? It seems like it. It seems like people are just absolutely going apeshit crazy. Sorry for the wording, but it sounds like they are just going apeshit crazy.
And then when somebody is arrested, you got people who are saying, oh, that's wrong. They shouldn't be arrested. They didn't do anything wrong. This last week, in my updates, and I told you about the one I did on Friday, but I did one that had, and for the life of me, I can't remember his name, and I really don't want to. The guy who played Hellboy did a rant about the so-called Don't Say Gay Bill out of Florida. And he started his rant with, don't say gay, don't say gay. That's going against our First Amendment rights. Folks, I don't care how many times you have heard this, don't say gay is nowhere in that bill. It is nowhere in that bill. The bill is to protect children from being taught about sex when they're too young to really be taught about it. Period. That is all it is. It's to protect the children. But we have teachers who are now coming out saying, oh, this is wrong. I need to talk to my children and let them know what's going on in my life. No, you don't. When I was growing up, when I went to school, I never knew what my teachers did. I didn't even know if they went home at night. I didn't know if they had a husband or a wife or children. I didn't know, and I didn't need to know. That was their life. They taught me reading, writing, and arithmetic, and later on geometry and algebra and history. That is what a teacher is there for. Not to teach kids how to become gay. And that's essentially what they're doing. They're teaching kids to become gay, to become transgender. Folks, kids need to be thinking of other things. This is the kind of thing that their little minds just are not developed enough to even consider. Let them grow up a little bit. Let them find out what the world is all about by learning. But stop indoctrinating our kids. We have teachers now saying that the parents who are going to these school board meetings and raising hell about what they're teaching their kids, we're being told now that the parents who are doing this are wrong. They have no right to do this. Whose children are these anyway? Are they the school's children? Or are they the parents' children? I can tell you right now, they are the parents' children, not the school's. And these teachers that talk about my children, folks, that is about as sick as you can be, because they are not their children. They never have been their children, and they never will be their children. They do not need to know what you do when you're at home with your so-called lover. They do not need to know this. This is nothing more than just pure de-indoctrination to make the next generation what you want them to be. Transgender freaks. That's putting it simply, that's exactly what the teachers are going for right now. Now, granted, there are some good teachers out there. There are good teachers out there. But the ones who keep going on television and saying, my children, I don't know what I would do if I wasn't able to tell my children what I do at home. The children do not need to know what the teachers are doing at home. It is none of their business. If they want to know what's going on at home, they can go to their own home, find out what their parents are doing.
But all you teachers who are pushing this sick mentality of transgenderism on our children, you are doing nothing but leading them to a life of hell and a death after of hell, and you will not be going to heaven when you die. Period. There's only one way to go here, folks. If you want to get to heaven, you do not teach children things that they should not be taught. If you want to get to heaven, you don't do things like indoctrinate your children to be gay. Because I don't care what your thinking is, you do that, you're going to hell, period. There's no other way about it. You're not going to heaven. You're not going to be an angel. You're not going to be anything but a devil. You're going to be in hell, and you're going to burn for eternity. Period. Now, getting myself back into things, I wanted to read some of the history lessons from my good friend Douglas V. Gibbs. He did a textbook called A Promise of American Liberty. And the first chapter is a good one. It's called Responsibilities of Liberty. And yes, folks, there are responsibilities of liberty. There always has been responsibilities of liberty. No matter what the left says, there always has been responsibilities of liberty. And the people need to learn this. American liberty is based on the idea of individual liberty. Individual liberty is assured by the concept of natural rights. Liberty in the pursuit of the opportunity to enjoy one's natural rights has encouraged settlers and immigrants to leave their homelands from around the world and come to America. The American Revolution and the Declaration of Independence reveals the foundational concepts behind the successes of the American system. The key components to that success becomes even more apparent when the American Revolution is compared to the French Revolution, which was fought in 1789-1799, which commenced only 6 years after the American Revolution reached its conclusion in 1775-83. To safeguard American liberty, the framers of the United States Constitution, which is the document which established our current political and economic system, established the United States as a republic with a democratic and dynamic free market system. Today, our economic system is called capitalism. There are many governmental and economic systems. Once, however, they are all examined, the reality is that there are really only two, a republic or an oligarchy. Russia is an oligarchy. America is a republic. And don't let anybody tell you we are a democracy, because we're not. A partial list of governmental and economic systems, including their connection to republicanism or oligarchy, is as follows. Anarchy. Z is equals zero government. Supporters of anarchy believe that from chaos rises order. They seek to destroy the old system so that the new political system may rise up from the rubble. Anarchy is a transitional state of governance, transitioning whatever it destroys into oligarchy or similarly centralized system where the powerful few rule over the many. That is not our system. Aristocracy. Rule by the most politically savvy or best suited. Criteria have wavered throughout history. Deciding factors have been based on virtue, talent, or education. In modern times, an aristocracy is more often than no rule by the upper class and an oligarchy. Autocracy, autocracy, system of government in which one person rules with absolute power. That's what Obama wanted. Capitalism, a term created by the father of communism, Karl Marx, to describe an economic and political system in which the country's trade and industry are controlled by private owners for profit rather than by the state. While capitalism may be wielded by other than an oligarchy or a republic, it is commonly associated with systems of liberty or non-oligarchies. An economic system characterized by private or corporate ownership of capital goods by investments that are determined by private decision and by prices, production, and the distribution of goods that are determined mainly by the competition to a free market. See where this is going, folks? Communism. Socialism realized, theory of social organization based on principles of common ownership, ownership and possessions being described to the community as a whole or to the state. System in which all economic and social activity was once controlled by a dominant government or oligarchy administered by the ruling elite of a single and self-perpetuating political party, but faded away as society became came to accept the resulting utopia. While some countries have been labeled as communist, true communism has never existed in human history or in human society, and is considered to be impossible to achieve due to the complexities of human nature. Confederation, a political system in which the units that make up the union retain ultimate authority for all internal issues, expressly delegating limited powers to a central administration or government for the purpose of administrating the union. It is a voluntary association of independent states. Confederations are typically short-lived and lack effectiveness in terms of defense of the union. Confederations have existed both as oligarchies and as unions of republics. Conservatism, a belief that the original intent of the United States Constitution must be conserved, which includes a limited role for the federal government, support of and for traditional values, and a cautious response to change. Conservatism in the United States champions preserving the republic. And that is something that the left doesn't want to do. They don't want to preserve the republic. They want to get rid of it. Democracy. Now, I've talked about this one before. A system of governance in which the ultimate political authority over all political decisions is vested in the vote of the public at large, derived from the Greek word demos, or the people, and kratia, or authority, or power. Some scholars will use the word kratos instead, which means authority or rule. Historically, democracies have always served as a transitional system of government from free systems to an oligarchy. That is one of the main reasons why Democrats and many Republicans constantly will tell you that we are a democracy. We are not. Fascism, a governmental system that regiments all industry and commerce through heavy regulatory controls. Characteristics of fascism also include forced suppression of all of opposition and criticism, aggressive nationalism, class warfare, and racial division. All of that's going on today, folks. We must be reminded that the notion that socialism and fascism are somehow opposed to each other is a historical fallacy. While they have been historical rivals, The difference between socialism and fascism is the method used to control the means of production. Historically, both fascism and socialism are oligarchies. Federalism. The system established by the United States Constitution. A federated union of states under the centralized government limited to in its authorities. The federal government's authorities are primarily focused on external issues such as war, trade, and foreign powers, maritime issues, and all issues connected to foreign relations, issues regarding disputes between the states, and internal issues necessary to protect, preserve, and promote the union, i.e. postal service, immigration, monetary issues. In the United States, federalism is an attribute of republicanism. And the next one is laissez-faire, as LAISSEZFAIRE, a policy or attitude of letting things take their own course without interfering. Abstention by governments from interfering in the workings of the free market, a concept supported by Thomas Jefferson and associated with the concept of republicanism. Liberalism. A definition of liberalism has changed over the years. The basic definition of liberalism provides that it is a theory in economics emphasizing individual freedom from restraint based on free competition and self-regulating market. A theory in politics emphasizing individualism and autonomy. In modern times, the definition has altered to include considering government as a crucial instrument for achieving equality and recognizing the essential goodness of the human race. In order to pursue the agenda of the modern definition of liberalism, advocates support popular control of government while denying that the aim is to ultimately establish an oligarchy. Libertarianism. A political philosophy advocating minimal intervention by government at all levels. While on the surface, libertarianism tends to have more in common with conservatism than other political philosophies, libertarians tend to support pure democracy, which ultimately leads to an oligarchy. Monarchy, a system of government in which the supreme power is held by a single person. However, one-person rule is an illusion, for even a monarch has a team of consultants and officers, ultimately making any monarchy an oligarchy. So you see, most of these actually are oligarchies. An oligarchy, ruled over many by a few, a system in which the control of a country is managed by a few groups of elites. There you go. And I have a phone call that just showed up. Let me see what we have here. Hello.
Hi, I came to your show because you're asking what can we do now. So I thought maybe you came up with some solutions.
Oh, okay. Well, essentially what I was doing was I'm trying to come up with some solutions, but the problems that we're having today is the fact that we have so many people who think that if somebody is, like, put in jail for something they did, that's wrong. We can't do that. Right has become wrong. Wrong has become right. And in order to fix what's going on, we need to put things back the way they were, you know, where right is right and wrong is wrong.
Well, I agree, but that's a nice worthy goal. But a solution without a plan is like, you know, ever hear that old Southern expression where somebody's leaning up against the shovel and the guy says to the guy leaning up against, he says, you know, nah, no hole's ever been big leaning up against the shovel, you know, praying to God doesn't get the hole dug if you don't use the old shovel. In other words, some good old planning. So, yeah, we do have to get back to the way it was. You know, we have to get back to the way the Constitution was originally intended to be. But at the same time, we have devolved, not evolved, into the kind of society where, because I was looking at your description page, where people like Pelosi and Biden and the rest of the corrupt bastards and bitches in government, you were saying they're not our bosses. Unfortunately, they are, because they're the ones that control the FBI, the law enforcement, the corrupt judges, and they're the ones that put people in jail. I don't. You don't.
Yeah.
They do. So unless we know to do in order to combat it, you know, I'm always looking for a solution myself because I don't have any.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You know, we've got, you know, when it came to our government the way it's supposed to be, we're supposed to be their bosses, but they have completely morphed that around to where they are. And they've gotten away with it so long now that it's going to take much more than I think a lot of people would want to do to get it back.
Well, yeah, and if you're alluding to the possibility of violence, that is the last resort, but our nation was founded upon violence. We have to have honest people in law enforcement and honest people in the courts, but I don't think we do. I don't think we have enough of them. We have a few that are real nice standouts, those that have come down and have said that Biden's vaccine mandates, for example, are unconstitutional, even though he's appealing it in the appellate courts. And there have been lawsuits against Big Pharma. They've won. They've introduced into court documents showing that Pfizer and Moderna, for example, knew that the vaccines were dangerous, but yet insisted upon rolling them out anyway. So one of our biggest enemies, if not the biggest, well, probably the second biggest enemy, is the mainstream media. They keep telling us lies, and people keep believing them, you know. And I don't, and I can't blame people for believing them, you know. Unless you actually do the research yourself, you're going to believe CNN.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You know, we've got so many people right now who have become lazy to the point where they just think, well, I'll just turn on TV, they'll tell me what's going on, and I'll know. No research, nothing else. They just think that, okay, well, CNN just told me that so-and-so shouldn't be where he's at, and maybe he shouldn't be. No research into it at all. And I think what's starting to happen, though, is that people are starting to do things that are making others sit up and take notice.
True.
And one of the things was these parents coming into these school board meetings and getting kicked out or being arrested. It's hard to keep that out of the news if it happened like that. Because people are going to sit there and say, well, he got arrested. Why? He was doing what he should have been doing. And then people will start looking. But until things start getting to that point, people just listen to CNN and figure, okay, well, they're telling me the truth. You know, and I grew up with the idea that if it was in the newspaper, it had to be true.
Me too.
And that's not necessarily true.
No, not true at all. I mean, the Washington Post and New York Times have enjoyed great reputations in the past of being the kind of papers that you could trust, but they've been bought out, of course. So, and I don't blame people for being brainwashed. Unless you know otherwise, then you're not going to believe that CNN or MSNBC or the textbooks that your children are looking at in school or the academics or the professors, that they're actually going to tell you lies. I believed that just about everything when I was in college. I did not expect anybody to tell me a lie. Maybe a mistake, but not a lie. So, you know.
Yeah, I was the same way. I felt that if I was told something untrue, that it wasn't a lie, it was maybe a mistake. And so I grew up with that feeling too.
And it wasn't until I actually had a fast connection to the internet, and I'm an info freak by nature anyway, so I started doing research, and I realized for myself that a lot of stuff just didn't make sense until you came to the conclusion that the people in Congress were actually traitors. In other words, they would actually literally take money under the table from lobbyists in order to sell Americans down the river. Now, most people believe that, you know, Congress, governors, mayors, you know, city councils, there's a certain amount of corruption that exists. But to the extent that they would sell America down the river, I don't think very many people can accept that fact. And until they do, they'll always look for an excuse as to why the government is mandating this, even though it's been shown that the vaccines are not safe, and it creates confusion. And that's exactly what the powers that be want. If you're confused, then you can't focus on saving yourself because you're too confused to know what to do.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that happened here in New Mexico was that, you know, we had a governor who decided that since COVID was going on, she was going to lock the state down, and she did. And we had places like Walmart with these huge signs out front that said, due to state law, you must wear a mask inside the store. And I'd raise hell every time I saw it. It wasn't a state law. A mandate is not a state law. And I got several of them to change that sign.
Oh, good for you.
I fought on that because, you know, I watched as my wife would go in, she'd put on the mask out in the parking lot. I wouldn't do it. I'd wait until I was actually walking into the store before I'd put a mask on, and then I'd leave it under my nose. People would get mad at me and say, you know, what are you doing? You're making everybody sick. And I says, I'm not sick. How can I make you sick if I'm not sick?
And how can I make you sick if you've got the vaccine?
Yeah. And then they say, well, have you been vaccinated? And I said, no, but I've had COVID, so I'm immune. and a lot of people were just so bamboozled over this, they just had no clue.
Of course not. Of course not. You don't hear.
No, you don't. And when the governor here in the state of New Mexico finally decided to lift the mandate, it was because the only other state that was still had the mandate was Hawaii, and she didn't want to be the last to take it off. That was the reason for her lifting the mandate. It wasn't because she was wrong. It was because she didn't want to be last.
Or there's something more afoot, because mandates have been lifted. Some states, they're putting them back on again. This is going to be like a yo-yo.
Yeah, thing, I've heard that.
Where they take So this is in order to create confusion again. The more confused you are, the less likely you are to be able to set out a plan to save yourself and even to realize that you need to save yourself, because you're going to keep relying on the government to save you. And, I don't blame them, but they're being led down the primrose path. So,
yeah, I think we all are. And there's, you know, like I live in a right now an independent living senior home, because I'm in my 60s, so I've been around for a while. But we've got people here who they've been told that when the temperature is above 60 degrees and the sun is shining, COVID can't live out there. That the sun will kill it, but they'll walk around everywhere with a mask on. And it just blows me away, because I've seen people driving with masks on and then drive off the road because they pass out.
I've seen them drive with the masks on, but I haven't seen them pass out, luckily. Did you see the picture of the guy that was actually literally swimming underwater with a mask on?
No, I didn't. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, that was about a year ago or so when that picture came out. It was crazy.
Oh, man. I think I'd have done a show on that one all by itself.
Well, you can probably find it on, if you Google it, Google Images, and just probably put into the search engine mask swimmer with mask on, and it'll probably pop up.
I probably
now
could find something
it's
like that.
That's crazy. That is nuts.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane.
It is. Well, I'm gonna let you get back to your show. So hopefully one of these days, either you or I or both will come up with a worthwhile solution that maybe we can tell other people about.
and maybe they'll listen.
Oh, yeah, that too. Oh, forget it. All right, take care now and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Bye-bye. Hey, you too, and God bless.
Thanks, you too.
I will remain as long as you do to bring you the news of the day. We will be right back.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with cutthroat precision and accuracy. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, running his own business, the Matt Joseph Investigations Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police Department. The job that gets Matt on this case also brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present day, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Rook Butte not only holds mystery, but also a dark cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt has been hired to find out what is going on without getting caught up in its death and destruction in the process. Night Owls is first in a new series of mysteries featuring Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://dp/1500284491. That's https://www.amazon.com/dp/1500284491. It is also available in both digital and book form. That's Night Owls, Matt Joseph Mystery by Robert P. Garding. Order it today.
Conservative Nation Media is growing, and what better way to grow than to bring our own Uncle Bing Fisher back with his great show, American by Design. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and his love of America back to CNM with American by Design, Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media, working to get ourselves back to 7 days a week, where now we have the weekends filled, ending with one of the oldest shows on CNM, with Bing's mellow voice giving you the wisdom that America is craving today. That's American by Design on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
Okay, we are back.
One of the things that I've been looking at is my caller brought up a good point. We have so many politicians out there who are in it only for the money or for the power that they derive from being a politician. Now, most of your politicians, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, John McCain when he was alive, are rich beyond measure. And most people who have a job that gives them $150,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year don't become multimillionaires overnight like politicians do. And the problem with a lot of these so-called politicians is that it's like Pelosi seems to think that, and she has said this before, I heard her say it when Obama was president, people were talking about cutting the wages that they make to help balance the budget. And Pelosi, her first comment on that was that she had worked too hard and too long to become the most powerful woman in the world to not get all the money that was deserved her. There's the big problem to our government today. When the United States government was first formed, the people who ran the government did not run the government as a job. They didn't get money for doing what they did. In order to make money for their families, what they had to do was, after the session was over in Washington, they had to go back home on their own dime and go back to work on their farms or go back to work in the factories that they worked in, or mostly it was farms back then. That's how they made their money. When they had to go back to Washington, D.C., they did it on their own dime. The government did not pay them to get there. The government did not pay them to go back home. And they had to go back home in order to make money for their family. They were only paid during the time that they were in session for the reason that they went to Washington, D.C. in the first place. That was the only time that they were paid. At the end of the day, they went to stay in a motel. They paid for the motel themselves. It was not paid for because they were a government employee. They didn't have insurance that was paid for by the government. Government was not a career. And that's where this has gone completely off the rails, folks. Government, working for government, has become a career. It shouldn't be. That is where most of our problems are coming from right now, because people working in our government think of it as a career. It's not supposed to be. But that is what it is today. And the people need to realize, and I've said this so many times before, but the people need to realize that without taxing the government has no money. They're giving out trillions of dollars. And a lot of people right now are sitting there thinking, well, they're giving us these checks to stay home. I'll just stay home and get checks from the government. Well, where does the government get its money? Sure, it prints money. It's the only entity that can do this. But in order for this money that they print to have any value at all, they have to get the money from the American people first and by taxation so that they have money to spend. And if the American people would just realize how much of our hard-earned money is being spent by the government to do crap things and push agendas that have no interest in us, the people would rise up and stop it. But most people don't even realize this. They think, well, the money, the government's got all kinds of money. Yeah, where'd it come from? It came from our pockets. If we all suddenly stopped working today, had no money coming in, so the government could not tax us to get money from us, what would the government do? First off, they'd run out of money, and they'd run out of money very quickly. Sure, they could print money, but it would become worth less and less and less and less all the time until it was worth nothing. And the government could give you $1 million and it wouldn't buy you a candy bar. That's where we're going, folks. Time we woke up and realized that our government is spending us into oblivion. Our grandchildren now are in debt, and they may not even be alive yet, but they're in debt for the rest of their lives because of what our government is doing right now. Because somebody has to pay for what they're doing. And guess who that somebody is? It's going to be us. It's going to be our children. It's going to be our grandchildren and probably our great-grandchildren. Because nobody's stopping this incessant, stupid spending by the government. We are already well over $1 trillion in debt, or 10 trillion or 100 trillion or whatever the hell that last one was. It's mind-boggling how much money the government owes. It is mind-boggling. And to think that that amount of money equals out to more per person than we probably make in a year. Man, woman, and child. These are things we have to start thinking about, folks, because if we don't, the future of America does not exist. Because our government is spending us out of it. Plain and simple, our government is spending us out of a future. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren might not even be born yet, but they're so far in debt that they'll never see the light of day. And it gets worse every day. Because people like Pelosi and Biden and Schumer and Maxine Waters and Newsom and Grisham here in New Mexico and all of these liberal governors all over the nation are spending like it's going out of style, not giving one thought about where this money is coming from. They just figure, well, it's money. Government has it. Government can spend it any way they want. No, without taxing the American people, folks, and you have to listen to me here, without taxing the American people, the American government is broke. They have no money, absolutely none, until they tax the money from us. That's the scary part about all of this. People are not doing anything about this.
They're not even stopping to think, where's this money coming from? They have to start thinking about this because the money is coming from your pocketbooks, folks. And it's so easy to make the government realize what's going on. All we have to do is go for 2 days without buying any gasoline at all. That would put a hurt on government. That would put a hurt on the oil companies. That would put a hurt on so many people. But we're too prima donna-ish to do that. We can't go for 2 days without buying gas. But one of these days, we're going to have to. One of these days, we're going to have to. If we don't do it sooner, it's going to force its way on us. Then there'll be nothing we can say about it. I wish to thank my caller who called in and gave me some really fantastic points on what he talked about. The show will be archived after it's over. So if you want to listen to the show over again and listen to the phone call again, it's there on Blog Talk Radio. It'll also be on Player FM, as all of our shows are. And I will also post it to my page on Facebook. It'd be facebook.com/rgarding, G-A-R-D-I-N-G. And it's on my page there. I put it there every week. But we are running out of time, coming up on the top of the hour right now. And I know the first 15 minutes of my show, there was absolutely nothing there because I had my phone muted. And if I hadn't actually looked down at my phone and seen that mute button was on, I would never have known it. But I was sitting there trying to figure out why I had somebody who had called in, because I have one person who calls in and listens, and his number is 111-111-1111. And I know not to answer that one because it's usually a guy who comes in and listens. And he stays and listens the whole show. Well, he disappeared after about 10 minutes. And I couldn't understand why. Well, it's because I wasn't transmitting anything. But I started to read from the textbook of my good friend Douglas V. Gibbs, his book, A Promise of American Liberty. I will continue that next week. There are questions that he asks in that. It's a textbook. It has test questions and everything like that. And I will do that again. We've got about 24 seconds left of the show. So I will end this now. I thank everybody for listening, and for those who will listen to it in the archives, God bless you all. God bless our nation. And please start thinking about some of the things that were said, because, folks, we cannot keep going the way we are, because this nation is being destroyed, plain and simple. God bless you all. God bless our troops. And I'll see you again on Monday with my next update and Friday with my next show. God bless you all. God bless you all.